Wherever you are tuning in from, I want to welcome you and thank you. It's a great day to be in Christ, and we're going to study today the wonderful truth that it is our Father's will that all men be saved. This is an absolute must to understand when you're reading about the end times, when you're studying Revelation. Because if you're going into Revelation thinking that our Father wants to destroy most of mankind, then you're going to miss the true glory and mercy and grace and truth of what's actually going to happen. So, as always, get your Bibles, prove everything that I have to say with the Word of God. Be like the people were of Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they welcomed the Word, but they proved it with the Scriptures. So let's get started here with a question. I want you to ask yourself, how successful was Jesus? So by going to the cross and offering his life and shedding his blood, was he able to secure all of mankind or just some of us? The Bible teaches us that God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is why we're told that he sent Jesus to be sacrificed. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, did Jesus' sacrifice accomplish what our Father willed for it to accomplish? If you look at 1 Timothy 2:4, we can see the truth of what our Father wants, because it says, who wishes all men to be saved, increasingly perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Holy Spirit had Peter write, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about his promises, according to some people's conception of slowness, but his long suffering. He's extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were also made God's heritage in its portion, and we obtained an inheritance. For we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand, in acceptance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. Now look at that. God would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And right there, we can see in the Word that our Father works out everything according to his own will. So if God wills something, it's going to come to pass. That's the truth, and that's what sets us free. Isaiah wrote it like this. He says, declaring the end and the rest from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures and purposes. Isaiah saw the truth, and it only makes sense. He's God. He came from nowhere, he stood on nothing, he spoke, and everything came into existence. So if he wants all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, then amen. All men are going to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So when you're asking yourself that question, was Jesus successful? Well, according to the Word here, he had to be, or else the Word wouldn't be true. If we look in Daniel, Daniel wrote it like this. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth, they're accounted as nothing. And he is capitalized. So God does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? So the truth, the Bible is truth. The Word of our Father says his will is always going to come to pass. And amen. His will is that all men be saved. Now, if we look in Romans 11:32, Paul kind of writes of it like this. He says, God has consigned all men to disobedience, only that he may have mercy on them all alike. Paul goes on and writes in Romans, or before he writes in Romans 4, 6, and 7, he says, thus David congratulates the man and pronounces a blessing on him to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works he does. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered up and completely buried. So, our Father would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Our Father always makes sure His will comes to pass, and our Father had it written. Our Father sovereign. He cannot lie. And He said, I'm going to have mercy on all men alike. So our Father is going to count all men as being righteous, even though none of our works, not one of us, will ever measure up to such favor. Even the best of us, our works are as filthy rags. This grace shows us the power of Jesus' blood. These verses show us why God sent Jesus. He sent our Lord, He sent our Savior, He sent our husband to be sacrificed to secure His will of not losing anyone. So what good would it be to be God and have all this written if you didn't get what you want? John 12:32, it says, and this is Jesus talking, He says, if I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw and attract all men to myself. Not just some men, but all men. Isn't that great? That is powerful. Now we'll look at Isaiah 45:22 and 23. Isaiah writes, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. At the beginning of that verse, he said, look to me for salvation. And then what's he say at the end of that verse? Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess and be aligned with me. Jesus was super, super successful. Romans 14:11 says, for as written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God and acknowledge Him and honor into His praise. The Bible teaches us for a person to be saved, they must believe with their hearts and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And as we've just seen, every person's going to do this on Judgment Day. Every last person. Now think of this. Would there really be any glory and honor and praise if a majority of mankind didn't do it and was thrown into hell? Or as most people believe, they do it. They confess with their mouths. And think of it. God's up there on Judgment Day. He has all the people stand before Him, and He says, bow to me and tell me I'm God. And they do it. And then He says, go to hell. That's just not the way it's going to be. And there wouldn't be any glory in that. There wouldn't be any celebration in that. The only way that there can be glory and praise in eternity is if those who don't deserve to stay, they're still allowed to stay. God's mercy and His grace is what will bring the true power of Jesus' blood. That's what's going to happen on the last day. People that don't deserve to stay get to stay. Now look at what Jesus says in John 17:2. He says, just as you've granted Him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind. So Jesus doesn't lie, does He? He can't lie. And He says, Father, you've given me power and authority over all mankind. There's nobody that Jesus doesn't have authority over. He says, now glorify Him so that He may give eternal life to all whom you have given Him. Jesus said, I have power and authority over all people. Now glorify me, Father, so that I can give eternal life to all people. Jesus said, if I'm raised up on the cross, I'm going to attract and I'm going to draw all men. Not some men, not a lot of men, but all men to myself. Jesus was sacrificed so that He could be in control of all mankind, and He is. Our joy is that He was so successful in accomplishing His mission that that's why God raised Him from the dead. Jesus was absolutely successful so that God's will of all men being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth could come to pass, so He raised Jesus up from the dead. And our Father would that all men be saved. And so Jesus did what he wanted. Jesus accomplished what our Father wanted. There's no doubt about it. If you believe anything else, then you're denying what the Bible actually teaches us. Now, if we jump over into Romans 5, 15 through 19, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit had Paul repeatedly talk about Jesus' success. It says, but God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, much more profusely did God's grace and free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Notice it doesn't say for a few, but for many. Nor is the free gift at all to be compared to the effect of the one man's sin. For the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift following many transgressions brings justification, an act of righteousness. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in this life as the one man, Jesus Christ. Well then, one man's trespass, one man's false step in falling away led to condemnation for all men. Now we're going to go over this one slow, this part of this verse right here. So one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. All men. Not some men, all men. For just as by one man's disobedience, the many were constituted sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, and brought into right standing with him. So all men are made righteous by Jesus. And if you look, it says those who receive the free gift. On the last day, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, that's what people are doing to receive the free gift. Ephesians 3:9. The Holy Spirit had Paul write, also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and the providing for salvation of all men. Of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now, the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Our Father just repeatedly has it written that Jesus came and was sacrificed and raised from the dead so that he could have his will fulfilled of all men being saved. So Jesus accomplished is going to be far, what Jesus accomplished is going to be so much more influential on man than what Adam did. Our Father had it written that Jesus' sacrifice is superior to the sin of Adam, that it's so superior that we shouldn't even mention Adam's sin. Jesus' act of righteousness has secured acquittal, meaning we're no longer guilty, and right standing with God for all men. God would that all men be saved, and God has consigned all men to disobedience only that he may have mercy on all men alike. If more people are sent to hell than get to stay with God, then Adam's sin, it would have far exceeded Jesus' sacrifice. 1 Timothy 4:10 tells us, with a view to this, we toil and we strive. Yes, we suffer reproach because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior, the preserver, the maintainer, and the deliverer of all men, especially those who believe, trust in, and rely on him. So again, we're told Jesus is going to deliver all men, especially those who have been empowered to believe in him, but not exclusively to those who in this life have been empowered to believe in him. Some people are going to have to go through Hades, and they're going to have to suffer the torment of Hades, just like the story of the rich ruler and Lazarus. Just like we're told in Peter, where Jesus went down into Hades and he preached to the souls of those who were in Hades, those who had been around in Noah's day, it says. But I'll tell you what, even if they have to go through Hades, man, they're going to get to stay with us in eternity. They may not be the bride of Christ, but they're going to be with us in eternity. Matthew 22:10 tells us that, "And these servants went out on the crossroads and they got together as many as they found, both bad and good." So the room which the wedding feast was held was filled with guests. Matthew 22 is Jesus giving an example of eternity, and to do it, he uses a parable of a marriage supper. And he says that there is going to be, the room is going to be filled with both bad and good people, okay? Now, what's cool here is the room is filled with guests. The bride, which the born again now, the saved now, we're called the bride of Christ. A bride is not a guest at her own wedding. The groom is not a guest at his own wedding. But there are going to be guests there, okay? So we can see in 1 Corinthians 3:15 how the Holy Spirit expands on this. He says, "But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who passed through fire." So the fire is Hades. What is the reward that they're losing? Their salvation, them being one with Christ, them being the bride of Christ. So what is their loss of reward? They don't get to serve with Jesus for all of eternity. You know what they get to be? They get to be served. Just like at my wife's, Beth and mine's wedding, our wedding, we ordered the cake, we provided the food, we provided the entertainment, we served our guest. And that's what we're going to do in eternity. And that's, the Bible says to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be the biggest servant. So these people who have to go through Hades to get to spend eternity with our Father, they get the reward of being able to serve for all of eternity like we do. Doesn't mean they're not going to be there. Doesn't mean they're getting thrown into hell. Just means that are our guests, because it says the room is filled, both good and bad guests. Okay, so the Son of Man came to save. Matthew 18:11 says, "The Son of Man came to save from the penalty of eternal death that which was lost." And he did it. Jesus did it. John 1:29, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and he said, 'Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Not that he, you know, he just asks you, do you want to give it up? He takes it. Jesus takes that sin. Why? Because God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And amen. He's going to make sure that our Father gets his way. So we just had to go over the truth that Jesus' success has secured an eternity to be spent with God for all men, some as Jesus' bride and some as his guest, because this will allow you to see Revelation for what it truly is. The last days are a cleansing of the evil of the world. The wrath of our Father during the end times is not designed to eternally eliminate the people who are caught up in the evil, but to eternally set them free from the evil. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, "Making known to us the mystery of his will, of his plan, of his purpose, and it is this, in accordance with his good pleasure, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him, he planned for the maturity of times and the climax of the ages to unify all things," the good and bad guests, "unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth." So remember that. Remember who we are in Christ. We're one with Jesus. And then remember that Jesus' sacrifice was absolutely successful in securing an eternity for all men to be spent with our Father. Okay, that's a great place to stop today. It's another great foundational truth that we've laid. And we just got a couple more things to talk about before we dive into Revelation. But we have to get these things solidified, because then it allows you to see the glory of the end times. Have a great day. Jesus is Lord. And once again, thank you so much for tuning in.